Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Senate is highly concerned with the Supreme Court nominee, you might have heard. But that's not the only thing on the agenda for the next few weeks. There's intelligence authorization, defense funding, and other nominations. Here with our weekly look ahead, Bloomberg Government Editorial Director Lauren Duggan. Let's start with intelligence authorization. What is happening there? And that's kind of key.
It is a key bill. It's one that kind of goes under the radar a lot of the times. And one reason for that is a lot of the bill is a secret, right? Because we don't know what they're giving to these individual agencies that are conducting our intelligence operations. But it's still a chance for Congress to weigh in on important intelligence matters. So we are currently without one for fiscal 2018. So what both the House and Senate intelligence panels have done have reported out bills for covering 18 and 19, so the current fiscal year and the next one. And they're trying to push that through as soon as they can to put some legal, you know, parameters around these programs. Now, the bill also requires a lot of reports from the different intelligence agencies and would look into some of the things about around Russian meddling in elections, not just ours, by the way, but any Russian attempts to meddle with elections around the world.
And those bills have been reported out, so it's a matter of reconciliation at this point?
Right. So they're written a little bit differently, have some different reporting requirements, but you could see this moving fairly quickly. And a lot of times this one goes behind closed doors and is quiet until it happens. So both committees reported it out in closed votes. We have the House vote scheduled for this week, and then we'll see what happens over on the Senate side.
So we don't really know what policy changes for intelligence might be there at this point.
Well, not the probably the really important ones, the ones that are, you know, behind the scenes and the kind of stuff that you need high level clearance to see. But, you know, the bills do cover in a public manner how much the intelligence community management account, what the director of national intelligence would get to manage the overall intelligence apparatus, and then some reporting requirements and things like that.
Yeah, that overall budget used to be a secret, but I think during the Obama administration, it became a matter of public record, the bulk spending level.
That is correct. So at the end of the year, we get a total, and we know what the administration requested. I think it's like $57.7 billion for 18 and $59.9 in fiscal 2019. So we know what they want overall from the National Intelligence Program, even if we don't know which each of those individual programs winds up getting.
And like the National Defense Authorization, is this something that Congress tends to get done on time year after year?
This one tends to slip a little bit more than the defense one. They can always carry some language on the appropriations bill to keep things going while they're working on this bill. The last one that was signed into law for fiscal 2017 rode on that year's omnibus spending bill. So it's one of those things that can get tacked on elsewhere if they can't do it on its own. Or, like I said, for this year, for fiscal 18, we haven't had one in place, although appropriations language has kind of carried things forward.
And on defense side authorization, that is pretty much done deal, but there's something coming up with funding on defense this week.
That's right. So on the authorization side, there's conferees that are been named in the House. I think the Senate may not have done that yet, but they're getting to that as soon as they can, and they'll start hammering out the differences between that bill, trying, if they can, to get that done before they leave at the end of July. On the appropriation side, the House has passed a bill. The Senate is going to take it up at some point, but what you may see on the House floor this week, if you pay attention, is a couple of resolutions, with the House going on record saying it's really important to get defense funding done by October 1st before the fiscal year starts. There's kind of one that's looking specifically at this year's bill and another one just saying in general, given all the challenges facing the military, given threats from places like China, Russia, Iran, terrorist groups, that defense funding is a very important thing to wrap up as soon as possible and before the fiscal year starts. So a little debate about that this week, even if we don't see action on that legislation itself.
Because isn't the top line number pretty much a done deal thanks to we're in the second year, 2019 will be the second year of a two-year budget deal that kind of gets around all of the sequestration and the disagreements over civil versus defense spending.
That's right. On the defense side, everyone's in agreement about how much should be spent there. On the, you know, the civilian side, there's still some arguments about whether you should spend less, and there are pressures on the civilian side because of things like the new Veterans Affairs healthcare program that was created by a recent law and some of the discretionary funding that needs to flow to that. But on the defense side, people pretty much agree how much should be spent in total, which makes the authorization bill and the funding bill a little easier. You can see a path to that getting wrapped up by September 30th, but the question is, can defense ride on its own on the spending side, or does something else get tacked on with it amid all the CR politics, continuing resolution politics, that we're also going to be talking about soon enough?
We're speaking with Bloomberg editorial director Lauren Duggan. And, of course, the ugliness will start today now that the Supreme Court nominee is known. But the question is the hearings won't start. Right now we're in that period where they just kind of make the courtesy rounds to the various offices where they're either welcomed or sneered at, or depends on which office it is. But what else in the Senate? I mean, what other nominations do you think are going to be coming up besides that one?
Well, you are right. The roadshow will start in earnest soon enough, where the nominee will be meeting with senators in both parties. I mean, there's definitely been talk about, are there Republicans who may be not on board and Democrats who might feel pressured to vote for this nominee, even though the rest of the Democratic caucus may want to stick together. So that will certainly be most of the energy. But there's still many lower court judges that Mitch McConnell and Charles Grassley in the Senate Judiciary Committee have been working to push through. There's always more executive positions to fill. So certainly the Senate will be taking up some time looking at different nominations this week and next week, and probably even well into the summer, given that they're looking to stick around until for most of the August break. At least that's what we've been told for now.
Yeah, give us a sense of what the schedule looks like now for the next few weeks.
Sure. Well, both chambers are due to be in for the next 3 weeks of July. The House has been planning to go away for August. And of course, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, made a big splash a couple of weeks ago saying that the Senate would work for most of August, take the first week off for state district work period, but then come back and deal with appropriations bills and nominations and other work for the rest of August. So if they stick to that plan, you know, we'll have a somewhat busy August. Supreme Court obviously put a new thing on the agenda for them to deal with that they weren't even planning at the time they decided to stay for August. So 3 weeks with both chambers, and then we'll see how many weeks with just the Senate around.
Yeah, because the House will have done most of its budget bills probably by then, and the Senate never does do its budget bills, and they rely on the omnibus process. So the Senate, between that and the nominations and the Supreme Court, has more work than the House right now.
They do, and to their credit, the Senate Appropriations Committee finished its work. All 12 bills were out of that committee. The House is running a little bit behind that right now with 10 fully out, another, the labor HHS bill, poised to be done this week out of committee, and then Homeland Security hasn't even gotten out to the starting blocks quite yet. But we've seen four of the bills go through the House. One was a three-bill package that the Senate has passed, and you know that's something we could see a conference around. But what happens next, and whether the Senate picks up packages of two or three bills at a time to help them process that, we'll be watching to see. The Senate has been passing things fairly quickly. I mean, sometimes it takes a full week to get through something like the farm bill or the omnibus or minibus appropriations packages. But they are going to try to churn through these things as much as they can and get back somewhere close to regular order, even if this isn't the full regular order that some people dream of returning to.
And just a quick question with respect to Homeland Security. Will there be any serious discussion of a provision to get rid of the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement?
That remains to be seen, and that could be a reason that we haven't seen that bill move forward yet, along with the discussion about what to do with the children who arrive at the border and what to do with wall funding, all of which are kind of controversy swirling around this. The House was trying to come to agreement on immigration legislation and couldn't before they left for July 4th. So the abolish ICE debate, which is something that both sides may want to have for different reasons, that's still a live issue that I think we'll be hearing more about in the coming months.
ICE on ICE. Lauren Duggan is editorial director at Bloomberg Government. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.